when you realize that mainstream media has sold you a box of rocks. It's time to tune into The Kate Daly Show, America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. So far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed where they have had capitalism and largely free trade.
Well, Milton Friedman sure gets it right, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Well, hi, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
It's a Thursday. You're here, and that's how I know. It's either a Monday, Tuesday, or a Thursday.
Well, that's good.
I know, right? Helps me keep track of the days. Welcome to the show. And we should have Chris Ann Hall calling in, our resident constitutional expert and attorney, the one that always makes sense out of the Constitution and of the Constitution for us. And I welcome you. 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. Hearts go out to several states dealing with major weather. I know my daughter lives in a region that gets hit by these things and was kind of close to this area-ish. And I know that what they go through all the time because of these warnings. And it really is. It's tough. And my heart goes out to anyone that's been touched by that. And I know they've had three deaths, I think.
Yeah.
It's been pretty bad. So I know that they are allocating, I think, $19 billion. I think they approved that for damage. That was the breaking news story. They wanted to make sure get some funds there. And the damage was pretty bad. It hit, I think, Jefferson City, Missouri, really, really badly.
But it's a terrible thing.
It is. Yeah.
What I wonder, though, mm-hmm. it seems to me that when I was young, mm-hmm. a kid,
right.
when there were incidents across the country where there was weather damage or mm-hmm. or hurricanes or mm-hmm. whatever, insurance companies took care of that,
yeah.
not taxpayers.
You're right. Insurance companies do. And you brought something up, and it's probably, I don't mind timing-wise with what's going on, but still something to really talk about, too,
mm-hmm.
And is the fact that, you know what? The FEMA budgets, the disaster budgets, have gone up so incredibly much in the last decade and a half, that it's hard not to notice it. I brought it up on the show before because I went back and I analyzed the dollars and I analyzed what was being spent and what wasn't. And I'm telling you that 40 years ago and 30 years ago, we did not have these ginormous budgets. And the budgets, they seem to be, okay, they allocate billions of dollars to something. And then you don't see the money getting spent, or you see the money getting squandered to a few contractors mm-hmm. that subcontract and they can't do what they said they would do. Or you've got a budget that keeps rising, yet they don't actually put, it's as if nobody's actually doing the accounting, is my point. It's the budgets keep rising and rising and rising, but nobody says why. And so it's completely out of hand now, to the point where in the last decade or so, it's gone up so many billions of dollars and nobody questions it. You know why? Because in America, if you question that, if you question disaster money at all, you kick puppies. You are the worst person on earth. I mean, how dare you even ask, or how dare us even say this right now, right? In the face mm-hmm. of what's going on. But yet it does bring up a really good example of, now, wait a minute, what are we doing and what did we used to do? Because I always want to look at everything through a lens of history and context.
Right. And what we used to do was buy insurance.
Yeah.
And insurance companies ran actuarial tables and they decided mm-hmm. how much all these people had to pay to keep the risk low for everybody.
So is that $19 billion getting paid on top of the insurance companies?
No, I think people don't buy insurance anymore because now it's like being self-insured. We're self-insured
now
through taxpayer money. So that when there's a hurricane that destroys your Florida town,
mm-hmm.
taxpayer money fixes it, not insurance company money.
That's a good point.
We're self-insured.
Yeah.
We've become a self-insured nation.
Yet, with no accounting, no, I mean, usually, you know, the insurance companies and so forth, there's some accounting at least. With this, it's a blank. So look at the number, $19 billion. It's a rolled off number. Mm-hmm. It's basically a blank number. They could have said $50 billion today and nobody would have questioned it. They could have said $200 billion and nobody would have questioned it. So where's all that money going exactly?
Well,
they don't come back and say.
And that's always the trouble with government bureaucracies. Everything's arbitrary. Whatever they want it to be at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next year we might only need $8 billion for the damage that's done by the weather.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Hmm.
It's weather.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, there was never any talk of, oh, the government's going to come in and save us.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of curious, isn't it? I wish I had my notes in front of me because I'm telling you the amount of money was raised so high that after what happened in mm-hmm. Texas, they increased the budget by like 300%. I mean, it was a huge jump. And they said, well, it was because we really, really needed it, yet they would never go into a laundry list of why. It's kind of like the military budget. You never understand really where it's going, but they just keep upping the number. And that's what they've done with, I just think of it as their cash cow. I say, you know what, this is kind of a cash cow because you can hide a lot of money within that budget. Not one person will question it. I don't see any Congress people questioning it. Nobody. That and money for a Ebola. You know, millions of dollars, and we didn't have an Ebola crisis. No. Where'd the money go? Nobody has any accounting for it. Nobody even checks.
Well, here's a kind of an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
In March of 2003, FEMA joined 22 other federal agencies.
Hmm.
And it became the Department of Homeland Security.
Hmm.
So FEMA and 22
right.
other agencies joined together.
Mm-hmm.
So it really isn't.
Yeah.
There's no accountability.
No. No. In fact, a few years back, there was a year where they went $8 billion in emergency and disaster relief funding to fight wildfires. And they did $34 billion for the National Institute of Health and $2 billion, $999 million for emergency famine relief and $100 million to combat opioids. And all of this money, it's all blanket numbers and nobody's looking. Nobody. And the FEMA budget, the budget request was $13 billion, they had an extra trust fund for $3 billion, and then all of a sudden it went up from there. And so the money just kept hiking and hiking and hiking. And on every disaster, it seemed as if people were willing to let go of the number more and more and more. So, and I don't know why, because we had disasters in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, but for some reason in the last decade and a half, it was like, well, Texas happened, and so raise the budget 300%. We don't care. We just want to make sure it doesn't happen again, even though that money doesn't go towards not happening again, because we know it will. But it was that attitude toward it that was kind of disturbing. Like they could have said $3 trillion and nobody would question it. That's my point. Nobody would question it at all.
Well, I think it's more along the lines of like, I'm your senator from here in Texas, mm-hmm. and I got you $10 billion for last year's hurricane.
That's true. You're right.
And
no, you're right about that.
I'm your representative from Florida.
Yeah,
I got
right.
the president to come down here and visit and give mm-hmm. us $8 billion.
I can't disagree with that.
They're just buying votes with that money.
Yeah,
that's what
disagree.
They're doing.
I can't disagree. And it looks good. It looks like leadership. It does. It mm-hmm. looks like I'm being a really good leader. I'm making sure that we get our due.
But
states have budgets. Why aren't those used?
Well, that and what about all the people that live where there's not a lot of natural disasters?
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's true, too. And it's not knocking. I that's why probably the timing is not good as far as what just happened in these couple of states
in
Missouri.
Not.
And I just want people that are tuning in. We're not camping on that. I think it's the whole picture of The states kick in, the insurance companies kick in. We kick in when there's an emergency. Because it's an emergency, we don't question. And then it does look like leadership when they say, I got X amount of dollars. And we tend to look at that pretty favorably. But how many people, when they looked at that favorably, said, well, what about the insurance companies in the states and everything else that they're already putting money aside for this? Then where is it all going? Why aren't we allowed to question that? And I think this is an opportunity to question. And I hope, you know, I think the demand for let's take care of everybody, the demand for, and we all want to see our mm-hmm. neighbor taken care of. We sure. get it. But there's also a self-reliance factor here. And there's also a money's already been allocated factor here. So then you're putting money on top of that. It is kind of strange.
The only thing that really bothers me is that it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
It's become so big that there's really no control over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just, it's big.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate, Sam calling.
Hi,
how are
Sam.
You?
How are you? Are you okay? You're in Missouri. Are you okay down there?
Yeah, we're 50 miles south of where all that stuff went down in Jefferson City.
Only 50 miles?
But that whole storm complex, if you'd gone just a few miles north of where we were, it was much worse. It was
terrible.
Real strange. We were right in between some stuff that was coming in from southwest Oklahoma and the mm-hmm. stuff up north. And we managed, the only thing we had was just little rumbles of thunder and light rain was all we got. But
wow, I'm glad you're safe.
I was up most of the night monitoring the whole thing. And for a while there, I was beginning to think we were going to get to the point where I was going to have to adopt a new model called Gone with the Wind.
No, I bet. I can only imagine, because you're not that far away. That's not very far. That's like 45 minutes away. Ouch.
Well, what was so peculiar about this is this happened twice in a row. We didn't have quite the same thing Tuesday night, but mm-hmm. we had a real strange phenomena where, and I'm not saying phenomena in the sense that it's never happened before. It mm-hmm. is somewhat unusual, but we started out during the day, and it was real nice and tranquil, and then all of a sudden during the evening hours, the humidity shot up. Just boom, you know, like all the way up in the 70s. And then the storms just broke loose, and that was on Tuesday night, and then the exact same thing happened yesterday.
Well, we're gonna hit a break, but I wouldn't mind you calling back if you wanted to comment on what we were talking about. And I'm so hoping it's
back.
Not insensitive, but I'm also wanting us to actually have a conversation about it, because I don't think America does. I think that's kind of...
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I'll call you back.
Okay, sounds good. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
As we roll down this unfamiliar road, and although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. I've got Uncle Milty with me. And not sure what happened to Chris Ann, but she'll call in if she's able. And I hope she's all right. Back here with you, katedalyradio.com. Thank your local station for putting the show on the air. We're always grateful for that and grateful for you listening. Share the podcast far and wide. Email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. And I always appreciate your guest suggestions and suggestions about the show. I love it. Keep emailing me, kate@katedalyradio.com. And caller, hi, Sam, are you back?
I am back with you.
Perfect.
And I couldn't agree with you guys more. You know, I always study history as well on a lot of this stuff, but here's the thing I want everybody to understand: when you take these FEMA grants,
mm-hmm.
when your cities take these FEMA grants, your counties take these grants, you're automatically a part of the Agenda 21 program.
Yeah, yeah.
So do keep that in mind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yep. That's so true. You know, back in I'll take you off the air, but I really appreciate you calling
you
in about that. So back in 1960, they had Hurricane Donna, okay? And they actually put out $980 million worth of damage had been done. And it was a pretty big one, strongest hurricane of that year. And it was on the East Coast, obviously, Hurricane Donna. And it was a tropical storm that turned into something more, notably. And so it was $980 million in damage. Yet, when you look at the funding for what they allocated, now I know that was 1960, okay? So even if you went up from there, and even if you doubled the budget, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking at about, you know, I mean, it's a good sum. But look what they allocated in Hurricane Harvey, $7.9 billion. Look at the jump. So even if you were to look at inflation on the numbers from 1960 and the actual damage that occurred, mm-hmm. and you know they were probably upping that number just a little bit because they were going through all damage, and a lot of that damage was covered by companies, okay, sure. and state funds. But then when Hurricane Harvey came about, the House actually voted for $7.9 billion. And I almost feel like it was like a sales thing. I mean, might as well go $8 billion, but you don't want to have the number be 8. So 7.9 sounds a little better, right? And so they should have just, you know, 7.995. I mean, that's kind of how it feels. But this isn't, I mean, this is where the budgets go. And I could see saying, well, there's, you know, obviously, you know, triple what happened in Hurricane Donna, if you want to go, you know, more of a worst case scenario. But still, how do they jump from that number to $7.9 billion just for that one alone? That wasn't like, that was on top of what FEMA already gets. This wasn't like, let's take this part of the FEMA money, okay? That's a whole different scenario. Let's take this part of the budget and allocate it. It was, let's put this on top of the budget FEMA's already getting. So you have FEMA money plus the money they're getting. And then you had another, but there was another disaster, $7.4 billion towards that. And then Texas Governor Abbott had come out at the same time and said the federal aid package was an important initial down payment on Harvey relief, that he actually expected to be $150 billion to $180 billion. Now think about that. The storm damage reported on Hurricane Donna, $980 million. And he said that the down payment that they got from $7.9 billion that Congress enacted above and beyond FEMA money, state money, insurance money, was now going to be a down payment, was going to be part of $150 to $180 billion. That is a lot of money for one hurricane. That's just for Harvey alone.
Hmm. You know, inflation is an interesting thing.
Well, inflation
in 1960 with Hurricane Donna, it was $800 million in damage, right?
980. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 980. Mm-hmm. Okay, I put in this calculator, yeah. I put $800 million.
Okay.
But $800 million in 1960, in 2017, was $6.6 billion.
Okay.
So that's purchasing power.
Yeah.
So the numbers are so big anymore, yeah. It's hard to
It is hard. And you'd have more buildings, or you'd have,
sure.
you know, but FEMA already gets their budget, state has their budget, insurance companies pay out. So with all of that said and done, then the House goes, well, we're in the middle of an emergency. See, I just look at them as opportunists. We're in the middle of an emergency, $7.9 billion. We don't know why we're coming up with that number, but that's the number. And then nobody bats an eye. Otherwise, you're a puppy kicker if you bat an eye at that, because we're in the middle of a disaster and people are in need, which I get. But I think they heavily inflate the number. I don't know where the other money's going, because like we said, insurance companies are paying out. State has their funds already allocated and saved. FEMA has their money. They have a huge budget. So there's a lot of missing numbers here, and a huge swelling of numbers over the last 15 years. And I really do think that this has become like a cash cow. Chris San, welcome to the show.
Oh, you guys love me so much, you'll forgive me, right?
Of course. Are you kidding? You're Chris Ann. Wait, of course. I figured something came up, so I'm just glad you're calling.
Chris Ann Hall is a human being. Can you believe it?
No, you're not allowed. You must be Wonder Woman. I'm so happy you're with us. And we were just talking about the damage that was done. But we also, that segued into FEMA monies and how the number's been inflated over the years and how insurance companies take care of things and state have funding, and FEMA already has funding, but every time there's a disaster now, money goes through Congress at an exorbitant rate. Like for Hurricane Harvey, it was a down payment of $7.9 billion to $180 billion. That's a lot of money for a disaster. Where's all the money going? And it seems as though if you question it, you're a puppy kicker. Because if you question it, people are in need, and of course they need the money. But nobody ever questions the amounts.
Point out the fact that the FEMA then comes and makes all those people pay back that money? And they're actually collecting money from people that they never actually gave money to.
You're so right on that. You are so right on that. I'm glad you said that.
You know, seriously.
Yep. Now, they have an annual budget already of $18 billion. Where does that money go if every time a disaster comes, the feds and the state actually give more money? And you have the insurance companies paying out. Where's the money going?
Yeah, and the people pay them back. Lots of, not just a handful, but a lot of people have to pay them back. And then we learned from, hurricanes here that the FEMA will actually even come after people that never got money from FEMA. And then they have to spend time fighting FEMA saying, look, you never gave me money. I'm not paying you a dime. And a lot of people just pay to stop having to deal with the cost of fighting them.
Jeez. What a cash cow. And, you know, it's increased like 100%, 300% over the last decade and a half, especially. So I figure that they're using that money for cover to kind of put wherever they want to put it, because nobody's batting an eye. Nobody's asking. Nobody's putting two and two together going, man, you're getting a lot of money from a lot of different sources. Where's the accountability in this? Because if you do that, you're a bad person for asking.
Right.
Oh, we got to watch those cash cows. That one is growing significantly. I did a whole show on that a couple of years ago, where it was just the amounts were just alarming. Because if they would have come out today and said, because they pushed through $19 billion, if they would have come out today and said, I need a $50 billion or $100 billion, nobody's going to question. It's a disaster, right?
Right.
Who questions? Oh, it's dangerous. Very, very dangerous to let them get away with that without accountability. So there was a couple things I wanted to ask you about. I know Uncle Milty did, too. The banks handing over Trump's financial records by court order. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, that's...
Privacy?
Where is due process in America? And here's the point that I want to make, right? So people get all ticked off because... the idea that you can't sue the president while he's in office and the president can't be above the law. Well, if the president can't be above the law, then you have to operate within the law if you're going to be going after him. Now, I mean, not just
That's a good point.
Within the law that Congress writes. I'm talking about the laws and rules of due process, about criminal procedure, about treating him treating him like everybody else. But the federal government doesn't honor the due process of anybody except for the criminals themselves, like Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and Lois Lerner and Loretta Lynch. And, you know, I mean, seriously, the myriad, James Comey, you know, oh, we got to have due process, this due process, that. And Hillary didn't actually mean to commit the crime. We know that intent is not an element of this crime, but we don't really think that that's fair. But then trampling over the rights of people and trampling over the over rights to property and privacy are okay when it fits their agenda. See, this is exactly, and I just can't get over this. This is exactly what our founders went to war over. This is exactly why our Constitution was written to prevent this, so that we and our children would not have to relive this.
Amen, sister. That's all I have to say on that one. And yeah, that where's his privacy? Where's his rights as a citizen too? And you're right about them being able to they're decrying one thing and then using these illegal avenues really to go after him and try to get his records, and it's purely wrong.
Especially when they come right out and say, we want to go look to see if we can find a crime somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's not due process. That is not search and seizure.
That's called
a
witch
hunt. That is not the Fourth Amendment. And if you want the president to be accountable by the law, then he has to be protected as well by the Fourth Amendment. I just published today an open letter on impeachment. I am sick to death of this impeachment.
I am too.
Stuff about Donald Trump. Absolutely sick to death of it. It's all hypocrisy. It's all political playground. And it's not just amusing. And it's not just annoying. It's absolutely destructive to the integrity of the of due process in America. And all of these impeachment hypocrites that are crying for this process to actually convict a man of a crime he never did, when they turned a blind eye and kept a stone silent mouth over Hillary Clinton, who actually committed multiple crimes, over Eric Holder, who was convicted of a crime, over James Comey, Lois Lerner, Loretta Lynch, who have all committed public crimes, and not a word of impeachment said about those people. So I'm sick and tired of destruction of my rights.
I'm not a Trump stand, but you're going to have to let me rant here because I'm tired of my rights being trampled and stomped
to the ground by these political prostitutes.
Thank you. Amen on that one, too. And I think everyone out there is nodding and agreeing because we're tired of it. For a while, we go, yeah, this is them being whiny brats. This is them doing what they do best when they don't have anything else to come up with. They start inventing stuff. But it's to the point now. It's so over the top that I get why you're so angry. I'm angry, too. I've had it. And I think a lot of most of the Americans have actually really had it now. I think we're done. Yeah.
Can I just say what the heck with Justin Amash? I mean, seriously, what the heck?
I don't know. All I know is that he's getting his money from China personally. So
I have no idea.
I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
100% constitutional.
Yep. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Stay with us.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There's an endless road to rediscover. Hey, sister, know the water's sweet, but blood is thicker. Oh, if the sky comes falling down for you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't.
Listening to the Kate Daly Show. Lucky you. You know why? Because I have Uncle Milty and Chris Ann Hall, a double dose of fun. And also, Chris Ann Hall is our resident constitutional expert and attorney. So if you want to understand the Constitution, the whole entire document that we're supposed to be abiding by in government and clearly don't, this is the best way, and also her show. So make sure and check out the Chris Ann Hall show, because she's pretty amazing. And she does amazing things when she travels the country every single year. She's on C-SPAN. She's everywhere. Talking about the Constitution. You were even on Fox News trying to talk about the Constitution, which is awesome. I love this. But I so appreciate all your efforts, Chris Ann. You really do just a world of good for people to understand, and just really common, you know, just understand just every problem in such a way that we understand the constitutional backing. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kate, for that encouragement. It's we're going 9.5 years now.
It's
been a long road, but it's been fun and it's been an adventure, and I couldn't have done it without people like you and Uncle Milty along the way. I mean, seriously, you guys helped me, you encouraged me, and I just want to tell everybody, if they go to ChrisAnnHall.com, they can catch that letter that I wrote on impeachment if they really want to see the full rant.
Well, and anything on that. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, and it's something that the press loves to just put out there again and again and again too. And so they're not even questioning it. They just throw it out there as propaganda, and really, yeah. So many things are based on the load of propaganda we get. And so those calling for impeachment, they can't even point out to any crime. You have to wonder about where Americans in their heads are, because there's no crime.
Well, and it's not just harmless, Kate.
Yeah.
It's not just a harmless attack on the president anymore. You know, all this, all the lies, all the fake news, you know, it all used to be just words. Mm-hmm. This is no longer harmless. This is no longer just a political attack. This is an attack on the liberty of every single American.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is. It is because of the due process, because of the
it's
way they're doing
everything. It's setting a precedent.
Yep.
It's just wicked.
Yep. I want to talk about, speaking of propaganda, and boy, we have loads of it in all directions. What's going on in Arkansas?
Well, here's the crazy thing. Okay, so Arkansas passes legislation to legalize medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. And they actually set up dispensaries, and it's very successful. But here's the thing. In order for the state of Arkansas to legalize medical marijuana, they have to recognize that the federal government does not have the authority to create laws mm-hmm. regarding marijuana. I mean, that's the whole point.
Right.
There is absolutely no authorization in the Constitution for the federal government to create laws to regulate what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, what we consume, what we smoke, what, you know, and drugs. There's no authorization in the Constitution for the federal government to have anything to do with the regulations or the dispensation of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously Arkansas recognizes this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the contradiction.
Okay.
Arkansas is now helping the federal government take the guns from people who get medical marijuana licenses.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously, how do you recognize that the federal government has no authority to regulate marijuana to the point that you actually pass a nullification law in your state, and then you turn around and your state police are going to help the feds confiscate guns from people who are following your law when the federal government has no authority to regulate, confiscate, or do anything with your guns and ammunition either?
You don't want a bunch of potheads having guns, do you?
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? Potheads having
sarcasm.
Guns. This is not about potheads getting guns. This is about political schizophrenia.
Of course.
Yeah, of course it is.
This is political schizophrenia. And I cannot wrap my brain around it.
Yep.
And I was just on the show, on the Paul Harrell show there in Arkansas, talking about this. And a couple days ago, and I said, this is lunacy. I said, you guys need to get a sheriff that has a couple brain cells mm-hmm. that looks to your state and says, what the heck? Are you guys dumb?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So the federal government doesn't have the authority to regulate drugs and marijuana, whatever. Arkansas recognizes that. Well, the federal government not only has no authority to regulate firearms, they are specifically in writing, prohibited from doing it. And then this is the one that it's a mental disorder. We have, in America, we have been trained into mental disorder when it comes to government and the Constitution and stuff. And what's crazy is I was reading articles about this, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
Law professors coming out of the woodworks, right?
Right.
Law professors. Well, you know, they got the supremacy clause that really tips the scales against the states in these issues. And I'm really beginning to wonder, Kate, I don't think that, I think that maybe, mm-hmm. maybe 2% of every law professor in this country has actually read the supremacy clause.
I think you're right. I think
they read books people wrote about the supremacy clause,
yep.
and they never actually sit down and think and read it themselves. Because anybody with a sixth grade understanding of English grammar
mm-hmm.
can read the Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution, and know that the supremacy clause does not give the federal government supremacy over the state.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Yeah.
This is my day to rant, Kate. I don't know. Maybe somebody slipped me some cayenne pepper in lunch today.
I guess
what's
so.
Going on with me?
We'll take it.
I wrote this letter today. I was just inspired to write this open letter, and I have this continuing air of angst in my heart. I'm sick and tired of it, Kate. I've had my fill. I'm done. I'm done of being treated like an idiot. I'm mm-hmm. done being treated like a slave.
Yep.
I'm done being treated like I live feudalism. I'm done with having people who think mm-hmm. that they can rule over me because of their geography, because of their political station, or because of how much money they have. And I, you know, it's a good thing I don't live in Washington, D.C., because I would probably occupy Nancy Pelosi's office for a while. I mean, occupy Wall Street, kind of occupy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'd hang out, right? I'd take myself, I'd go to the Texas Roadhouse, mm-hmm. and I'd get the biggest, stinking, rarest steak I could find and go sit down and have lunch in Cortez's office.
I'm with you. I'm so with you. I feel like I live in a lunatic's world. I really do. And I know you feel that way daily.
It's insanity.
Because of the interpretation.
Where are the sane people?
Yeah.
Where are they? And why are they so quiet?
Exactly.
That's the problem.
They've been duct taped. I'm not quite sure. I wish we would have. Well, they give the microphone to the lunatics is the problem, too. Go ahead, Uncle Milty.
But the people in government anymore that are supposed to be our legislators and our representatives, they sit down and say, here's what we want to accomplish. And then they write legislation to accomplish that, disregarding law, constitution or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I would probably tell you 75% of them have no clue what the Constitution says.
Yeah.
And I say that. I mean, I think that's probably pretty generous, 75%, right?
Yeah. Is there any...
There are a good 25% that know, mm-hmm. and simply don't care. But a majority of the people there, they've mm-hmm. got no clue. And not only that, they don't want to know. We don't study the Constitution in law school, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We study books about the Constitution.
Right.
But we never actually pick up the Constitution and look at it.
That's true.
The problem.
That's true. We're reading about the interpretations. Is there a place that you trust to discuss the Constitution? Because I know you have 10th Amendment, and we have all that. Besides you, where would you? Who do you trust to discuss it and actually understand it? Anyone?
Well, I like the 10th Amendment Center.
Uh-huh.
I like Tom Woods.
Yeah, I do too. I've had him on the show. Yep.
Yeah, I like Tom Woods.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always see eye to eye on a lot of stuff, but I learn from Tom Woods, which is rare. I don't get to learn from people very much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you want to learn about the Constitution? Let me tell you about a couple great people.
Okay.
James Madison, Thomas Jefferson. St. George Tucker is the premier writer on the Constitution. Mercy Otis Warren, one of the top anti-federalists that even the anti-federalists of today don't talk about. I mean, if you want to know about the Constitution, you need to listen and learn from the people who were actually there and wrote it. There's mm-hmm. Okay, so I've talked about this before on your show, Kate, but there is the premier handbook on the Constitution. It's by St. George Tucker, who was a member of the Continental Congress and an advisor during the writing of the Constitution. He wrote the handbook on the Constitution. I don't remember the exact title because it's really long, but if you just go to Amazon and you write in St. St. Mm-hmm. George and then Tucker and then okay. Writings on the Constitution, you'll see the book.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to take it out of print.
Oh, that does not shock me at all. You have to, honestly, all the good books are out of print. They're consistently out of print. People have to go. I remember Don Fotheringham trying to write a book about outing who's behind the presidencies for the last 100 years in his book, The President Makers, had to go to people's attics. I'm not joking, to get books that were that old that weren't taken out of the system. It's pretty amazing what they do.
Yeah. Everybody who loves the Constitution should go to Amazon today and buy that St. George Tucker book.
Okay.
Because it is the Constitution. Handbook written by the people who ratified it, not Joseph Story.
Yeah, yeah.
Some revisionist Supreme Court justice who changed America.
Yeah.
But St. George Tucker, where the truth really is. And we have. I actually contributed in writing a book called The Killing of the Planet, which mm-hmm. is coming out in October. And the pre-order of the book just came out. Don't buy it, Kate. I'm going to buy it for you.
Okay.
And I wrote the epilogue, and I contributed to the judiciary section. And
nice.
So I'm going to give you a copy of it. But this book is just mind-blowing. It's called The Killing of the Planet. And
you
will not believe. This will help you, Kate, with that understanding of who's behind it all.
I think so, too. And also this, you know, I did a show yesterday on the invention of the trimester for pregnancy for abortion and how that was done by the Supreme Court Justice Blackmun. Mm-hmm. And
I learned that from you.
Yeah. As you go back in history and as you're looking at these things, how many times were they opportunists, the Supreme Court, and took that opportunist moment to create parts of the Constitution that have never existed? Are they the worst offender of the Constitution, the Supreme Court, in your estimation? Are they farther down the list? Where would you put the Supreme Court?
Actually, Kate, I was just addressing our church is having a leadership conference this week, and I was just addressing the congregation this morning on this very matter.
Mm-hmm.
The courts throughout history
mm-hmm.
have always been the one to yoke up with those in power to destroy the rights of the people.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Yep.
Centuries now, this is how it works.
Yep.
And our founders, the drafters of our Constitution, knew this. This is why they created the federal courts to be the least powerful branch of the government with very, 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 can I say that like 12
times? Yes.
Very limited power. It is the least powerful judiciary that our planet has ever seen in its time at the time it was writing. And our it's because the, our drafters knew that the courts always yoked with those in power.
Isn't that the truth? When they inserted that into Roe versus Wade, when they made it up and structured it, the trimester, so one part of the gestation of a pregnancy would seem less important than the other parts, so people would feel better about abortion. That kind of restructuring and inventing, you can point to just about all their decisions for some part of a reinventing interpretation of the Constitution. That's why people have to be very careful, because we think they're the supreme mm-hmm. of the land. They're not.
No. They're the least powerful
yep.
of all three branches of
yeah.
government
yeah.
and the least powerful federal government ever created.
And the
and
least to abide
you,
by
Kate,
it, too.
Mm-hmm. They did the same thing in Dred Scott.
Yeah.
They said that they reorganized the Constitution, rewrote the Constitution through judicial intent
mm-hmm.
And to make people feel better about slavery. And it is the Supreme Court who declared that men were property. Actually, the Supreme
yes.
Court declared that the Constitution declared that men were property, when that is not absolutely, that is absolutely untrue.
Bingo, ma'am. I love it. See, this is why I love Chris Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Let me count the ways. Chris Ann, thank you for that. St. George Tucker, right?
St. George Tucker, writings
okay.
on the Constitution.
That is the premier.
The title is actually View of the Constitution of the United States with Selected Writings.
Okay.
View of the Constitution with Selected Writings.
Done and done, because the thing I want to be here is so helpful for people, because we have a lot of people interpreting it, and we have a lot of lawyer types out there that are going by those interpretations, but not to the source. And I love you, Chris Ann. Thank you for that. Thank you for
God
that.
God bless you guys.
God
appreciate
bless you.
For giving me
Thank
today.
You. You're fine. All right. We'll be right back. Thank you so much, Chris Ann Hall. Man, she's just an amazing gal, is she not?
Yep.
So we'll be right back, and I want to discuss some things. I think they'll be kind of news to some people, actually. I could go that far, say that. Be right back. Hang out with us, because let's learn. I that's what I love about doing the show and being here for this show. And I learn as much as everyone else. I just love it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.